January the 16th, five games. Tari Eason back on the court. I thought we'd never see it. We did. A blowout, not the expected blowout, I don't think, but plenty of stuff to talk about, some good performances. Let us get into all of it. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and subscribe. Download the episodes, comment, rate, thumbs up, everything. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter, or just go and bother Dan Bespris at Dan Bespris on Twitter. We'll get into the games. Quick just recap of what is coming up tomorrow. I will do it at the end as well. Three shows tomorrow. I will have a pregame show at 2:30 Eastern. Yeah, that's right. 2:30 Eastern. There will be a quick pregame show. Maybe it'll be 2:15. 3 p.m. Eastern will be trade talk with, I'll have Raphael Johnson on this week, Noah Rubin next week. And then at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, Dan Bespris is hosting a live Q&A fundraiser for Palisades Elementary. I will be on that show as well as a host of other people. I can give you a very, very quick rundown of who is on that show. Where is the post? Where is this post? Okay, here we go. No, that's not it. Yes, this is it. Okay, so on that show tomorrow, and I think he may add more people. So there is Dan and myself, obviously, Josh Lloyd, Joe Arrico, Rhett Bauer, Matt Smith, Yuri. I can't think of Yuri's last name. Yuri from the Bitches Be Ballin' podcast. Alex McLean, Sloan Piver, Steve St. Pierre, Scott Keller, DMAC or NBA Fantasy Bible, Dan Titus, Dan Palio, Adam Stock, Alex Barutha. A lot. The who's who of fantasy basketball. Let's put it that way. So it should be a really good show. If you've got questions, they don't even have to be fantasy. I think we're just answering whatever you throw at us for as long as we need to go. So check that show out. Absolutely. I think you can, has he tweeted out a, he has, you can click through, give it a pre thumbs up kind of thing. Yeah, go and do that. It'll be fun. Let's get into the games. All right. First, where am I? My head's not screwed on today. Okay, Phoenix at Washington, first game of... Actually, let's go through some player ranks from today because I was doing that and then I haven't because I just forget. Player ranks from today, top 10 performing players. Miles Turner, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, Pascal Siakam, Amen Thompson, Jalen Duren, De'Aaron Fox, Lou Dort, Alperen Şengün, and Devin Booker. Lou Dort, there you go. Miracles do happen. Let's start with Phoenix. Let's start with Washington. Look, the Suns get the win here, 130 to 123. We don't really need to talk about Durant or Booker or Plumlee. You keep holding him if you need rebounds, that's it. But it does sound as though Nick Richards will make his debut in Saturday's game for them. So whether they move him straight in, I don't know. Then maybe it'll take a game. But it is looking like, and just based on what they've got out there at the moment, Nick Richards will probably start, play 25 minutes. Plumlee honestly could fall out of the rotation. So hold Plumlee if you want, just in case you get one more game, but I really don't think you need to be. Ryan Dunn had career high, I believe, 18 points, 11 rebounds, one block. He's probably still a very soft hold. The arrival of Nick Richards could hurt him a little bit if they do play Richards alongside Iguodaro. I don't think they'll play him alongside Plumlee. Probably not Iguodaro either, to be fair. So Ryan Dunn should be able to hold his spot there. Tyus Jones had 10 assists and 3 steals. So he's, I don't think he's must roster, but those assists and steals can be tricky to find on the waiver wire. So unless you're dropping him for a sure thing, I'd probably hold. But yeah, it's been very underwhelming. Grayson Allen had 5 threes, 3 steals. We stream him in for threes. Royce O'Neal had 9, 4, and 2 with a steal. I think he's okay to steal. He should hold his role, especially with Okogie gone. And I don't think the arrival of Richards really hurts him too much. On to Washington. There's not a lot of good here, not in the starting five anyway. Koulibaly had 13, 3, and 2 with a steal. That's fine. Kuzma, I don't know what to call him. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. The assists and the steals are something, but 4 shot attempts. I know we talk all the time about the fact that he shoots the ball too much, but he should shoot more than 4 times, I think. Alex Saar had 16 and 9 with 2 blocks, so a nice game for him. Jordan Poole, 18, 4 and 4 with 2 steals. They didn't really run their starters, well, not all their starters, down the stretch here. So this could have been a better night for Poole. A little bit disappointing. They were sort of getting blown out, but it wasn't that close. Bub Carrington had 6 and 3. Yeah, he's very borderline as well for me. Keyshawn George, career high 24 points, a steal, 4 assists. He won't shoot this well. 6 of 8 from 3. And honestly, field goal percentage is probably the weakest aspect of his fantasy game, and he shot 8 of 10. So if you streamed him in, then great. If you want to hold for one more game, great. Maybe he can turn this into a week of value. But beyond that, he's really just a steal streamer. I think he steps into a bigger role at some point, but we're not there yet. Corey Kispert, he had 14 points but didn't get you any threes. And Valanciunas, only 15 minutes, 11 and 8. That's probably not enough to hold, but the minutes are really up and down here, so hold him if you want to. Indiana at Detroit. Let me just shuffle this around. Indiana get the win, 111 to 100. A spicy affair. There was some niggle at the end of the game. I had the sound down because I was on a work call watching the last quarter of this, but it did even look as though the coaches were sort of going back and forth a little bit. So good to see. Good to see some the old Detroit-Indiana rivalry from, when was Malice at the Palace? 20 years ago, something like that. Anyway, good to see. Good to see. We got a good Siakam game. 26, 7 and 7, 4 steals, 6 of 7 from the line. We don't get to talk about him very often, so I'm going to talk about him now. The assists are nice. Steals are great. He hit his free throws. Aaron Nesmith returned, played 9 minutes, 9 points. Now, I know he was on a minutes restriction, but I don't think he was on this much of a restriction, was he? Maybe he was. Let me just double check. As I said, I did have the... he was on limited minutes. Okay, maybe he was just... This is ridiculous. If you're... do we need to go into that again? If you are cleared to return from an ankle injury, you should not have to play 9 minutes in a game. I'm not going to say it, but for frig's sake. Anyway, I digress. Andrew Nembhard, 41 minutes, 12, 6 and 3. He's a hold. Halliburton returned. No word of an injury, a flare-up, anything. So touch wood that this really was just not much. He had 17 and 8 with a steal and a block. I would still hold Nembhard here, at least for now. These numbers are fine. So, yeah, just hold. Miles Turner matched his career high with 8 threes. He had 2 blocks. He had 2 steals. So nice night for him. Ben Shepherd, I don't actually know what the point of Ben Shepherd is at this point. He continues to stick in the rotation, but he just doesn't do anything. TJ McConnell also did very little in this one. He had 5 assists and a steal. If you added him with the Halliburton injury, we can move on quite clearly. Obi Toppin had 7 and 5 with a block. No need to be rostering him. Jarris Walker does seem to be edging ahead of him in the rotation. He had 8, 5, and 1 with 2 blocks and a steal. If you're looking to stream someone in off the Pacers bench, it would be one of those. It would be Walker over Toppin. But keep in mind, Neesmith, his minutes, I guess, will go up. Again, I don't know why he can only play 9 minutes. For Detroit, Asar Thompson started, didn't do a lot. The minutes are still limited to, 22 here, no more than 25 typically. So I think he is a hold, but that ceiling is really limited at this point. Tobias Harris had 10 points, 2 steals, a block. He's a hold. This isn't his best night, but he has been much better, of course. Cade Cunningham, 20 points, 9 assists. The 7 turnovers they hurt, but he was good. He started this one out a bit slow, actually, got going late. Tim Hardaway, 25 points. He's playing well, better than Malik Beasley at this point. I still think Beasley is a hold. Hardaway is someone we want to stream in, but we saw at the start of the season Hardaway was trash. So my waiver wire article that will come out tomorrow has Tim Hardaway in it. There's a spoiler, because I just think you have to grab him for now while he's playing this well, and we don't really want anyone else on that bench. And here's the blowout that we probably weren't expecting. Cleveland at Oklahoma City, 134 to 114, and it wasn't that close. You can see there from the box score, Cleveland, Evan Mobley, 18 minutes, Jarrett Allen, 16 minutes. I'm not going to talk about this at all from the Cleveland side because we just don't need to. We will talk about the OKC side, though, because we had no Isaiah Hartenstein. Jalen Williams, Jay Will, started. The worst stream of all time? Not quite, but it wasn't great. 5 and 5 with 1 assist. They do play tomorrow. If you picked him up for tonight, I think it's a pretty heavy schedule tomorrow as well. Just let me have a look at how many games there are. 9 games tomorrow. So there's a chance he might not be in your active lineup anyway. If he is, I would hold because I actually just think this was a bad matchup. Cleveland, we talked about it in the pregame show. They are very big. Oklahoma City can go small, and whichever team is sort of controlling the game will dictate the way the rotations look. And Oklahoma City were controlling the game, so they went small. Cleveland didn't play their bigs, and we didn't get much of Jalen Williams. So I would hold him. I think he'll be better than this. Shea was phenomenal. Jalen Williams, phenomenal. Very impressive performance by the Thunder, really stamping their authority on this game early. A bit of revenge. Cleveland beat them last week, I want to say. Off the bench, Caruso had 10 points, 3 steals. He is a steals streamer. 14 minutes, so that's not enough that he has to be rostered, and he won't be perfect from the field and perfect from the free throw line every night. So he would need 20 minutes, I think, to be a must roster or someone that we could roster more than one or two games. Isaiah Joe had 4 threes. Aaron Wiggins, like I said, they just went small here. They played 33 minutes of Aaron Wiggins, 21 minutes of Isaiah Joe. So, we're not worried too much about that. Lou Dort, like I said, very good in this one. 22 points, a steal and a block. I would still rather Cason Wallace. Lou Dort is not going to give you 22 points in 20 minutes very often. Cason Wallace had 27 minutes, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Still pretty clearly the hold there for me. Clippers at Portland, easy win for the Clippers. Unsurprising, 118 to 89. For the Clippers, there was no Kawhi Leonard. He was resting. And much like the Cleveland roster there, the minutes here are pretty low. Norm Powell, 23 points, 26 minutes. Derek Jones had 13 and 4 in his 22 minutes. Chris Dunn got you 3 steals if you did stream him in tonight. Amir Coffee, 10 points in 23 minutes. Terrence Mann, 14 points in 22 minutes. We don't need to read into this one because it was always in control, really. There was no risk they were going to lose this one. For Portland, look, Tamani Kamara, yeah, that's right, sounded wrong. Tamani Kamara, a dud, coming off that very good performance. He had 2 steals and a block, hold, don't move on. Shaedon Sharpe, 12 points, don't move on. Scoot Henderson, 16 and 6 with a steal, don't move. Well, this is good, you wouldn't move on anyway, but he is a pretty clear hold at this point. Anthony Simons, when he delivers a dud, he's good at it. 0 points, 5 assists, also a hold. I think if we get to a point in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you can sell high on Simons, Sharp, maybe. I don't think Kamara. I don't think Scoot. Simons is probably the obvious one. Jeremy Grant, if he ever comes back, would be another one. Delano Banton had 23 points. If you streamed him in, well done. Rob Williams, 4 points, 7 rebounds in his 18 minutes, just playing backup. DeAndre Ayton, let's talk about DeAndre Ayton. 24 minutes, nice. That's good. They shouldn't be playing him more than that. 14 and 7. So offensively, look, he is a good offensive center, and I've never sort of argued that fact. But defensively, God, the first play of the game, he was just standing back in the key and didn't run down the court. And I thought, here we go again. And some of the reads he makes are terrible, and the effort. And he throws his hands up and points at other players and said, talks about rotations and torque and stuff. I'm like, dude, you're at the back. You should be covering this. It's hard to watch. The 14 points are nice. He's a hold. If for some reason we get a couple of 30-minute games and he puts up 20 and 10, I would absolutely be trying to sell. Houston at Sacramento, which just wrapped up. The Kings get the win, 132 to 127. No Fred VanVleet for the Rockets. So Amen Thompson shifted into the point guard role. Jeff Green came into the starting lineup. We're not doing anything with Jeff Green. Dylan Brooks was fine. He's still just a streamer in my eyes. Amen Thompson, 20 and 10, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 4 of 4 from the line. That's a nice bonus. Great. He's been so good. Tari Eason returned. Wasn't sure that was going to happen. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal in 24 minutes. So that's encouraging. I doubt they want to push him beyond this, but... good to see him out there. Now, I would assume he is not going to play back-to-back, so I don't know that for sure. The Rockets do not play tomorrow. No, okay, Rockets don't play tomorrow. So let's assume he plays in the next game. But Fred VanVleet could be back. Cam Whitmore had 9 points in his 23 minutes. He's a point streamer. Do we go and add Tari Eason? Oh, look, you could. There's a chance he is not available in most leagues. People probably stashed him if they could. But if he's floating around, if you want to take a flight, 25 minutes, he's worth adding if he can stick around this. But remember, we do have to throw in 35 minutes of Fred VanVleet here, which will impact things. For Sacramento, Keon Ellis moved back to the bench with the return of Malik Monk. Keon Ellis then played 11 minutes before leaving the game with an ankle injury. So we can move on from Keon Ellis. All of the starters were good here. We don't often get to say that about Sacramento. Even Keegan Murray, 18 and 11 on 7 of 10 shooting. I still don't like the way they use him in this starting lineup, but hey, they're winning, so they're not going to change anything. Do we need to talk about the starters? Not really. Malik Monk was very good. But when the starters are good, the bench is not good, and the bench was not good. So we don't need Trey Lyles. We don't need Kevin Huerter. Not much to talk about there for Sacramento. Let's get into questions very quickly. Joseph K. him. Even with Denny and Grant out, do I think they're going to lean into Scoot now? Only mid-January. Already seeing signs of them pulling players out. Yes, we are. If that's the case, is he now an ad? I've been saying he's probably an ad for a few weeks. So, yes, I would go and add him. It will be up and down. We will get a game almost undoubtedly where Jeremy Grant plays, where Denny Avdija plays, where Simons plays, where Shaedon Sharpe plays. All three centres are healthy. Maybe it happens once, but I think Scoot should, his floor now feels safe enough that I think we can add him. And a follow-up from Joseph Kim. Realised ever since Draymond and IQ went down, my once strong assists is now lacking. Was thinking of maybe adding him. Adding Scoot? Yeah, I would go and add Scoot. Alex, finally got Bilal after weeks of wanting him, but can't justify holding when I'm at several games deficit because of potentially six games lost due to injury. Yeah, but Bilal's interesting. I mean, I would be trying to hold just because I think his minutes are, of all of these starters, Kuzma, Poole, even Carrington to some degree, I think Koulibaly is probably the safest. It is up and down. The scoring especially is up and down. So I would try and hold if you could, but I also don't think that his upside is like top 50 or anything like that. So if you can actively stream, I'm not totally against it. Lone Des saw my tweets about Kessler. I was very pissed about it. I was. It's more because the league sort of comes out and says we're going to stamp this out, and they put the games cap on last season, which probably wasn't the right move anyway. They fine the Hawks early in the season for Trae Young, who is clearly dealing with an Achilles issue. It's been hovering around all season. And yet now there's teams that are clearly resting players when they're playing teams in similar positions in the standings, and they do absolutely nothing. And teams aren't even hiding it. They're not even saying that Walker Kessler is out due to a knee contusion or put an injury. Say something. They're just saying out for rest. And how are they allowed to do that? I know it's Utah and they only get seven people to their game anyway. But, yeah, it's just – and they're not the only team that are doing it. Brooklyn are clearly doing it. Utah, Washington to some degree, Portland are doing it. And I mean, look, I don't blame teams if they can get away with it, but it's just not a good look for the, I don't know if this happens in other sports. I don't watch NFL. I don't watch baseball. So maybe it happens in those sports. I couldn't tell you whether it does. I know here in Australia, it definitely doesn't happen in our sports. Even if a team is last week of the season and you're dead last. And I can say this because my team has been dead last for 3 years. They play their guys. Unless there's a legitimate injury, they roll their guys out there. That's what they're paid to do. And like I said, I wish I could have a day off if I'm working 2 days in a row. Like, what other job can you do that in? Anyway, enough of that. A Brandon Carlson sighting. Yes, we did get a Brandon Carlson sighting. 'Tis the season, apparently. Cookie Monster, Amen had another one. Yes, he did, with Tari back, played 40. Should we expect high 30s? High 30s, I would say mid. You have to remember Fred VanVleet was out in this one. So that's a lot of minutes that were gone. So Tari came in, played 25. Fred VanVleet was out, who plays 35. So there's 10 extra minutes that have got to go to someone. And it was a close game. And Amen is arguably their, he's probably not their best player, but he's right up there. So I think 35, yes, safely moving forward. Can we talk about how much of a ball hog Delano Banton is? Yeah, look, I would be too. If I was playing on this Portland team, he's clearly trying to prove himself whenever he gets out there. So why not? He did do this, Steve, in the fantasy playoffs last year. So if we get to a point where Banton's playing 30 minutes, you have to add him. Because he will die. He will die trying to score. Should have traded Ayton when I had the chance. I wanted to trade for Monk, but Monk had another good one. Do you think? You have a chance. Offer it, Ayton for Monk. Ayton wasn't terrible today. Yeah. Probably going to be tough because Monk was very good today, and Ayton was sort of mid. So yeah, maybe wait. If you can get, as I said, a couple of good Ayton games here, then I would. Alex wants to pick up Bryce or Keontae for tomorrow's stream, but what if they get pulled like Kessler was? Oh, yeah, look, Keontae, it's risky. Bryce, I think, will play. He was coming back off an illness. There's no indication that they would rest him. I'm not, of course, I could be wrong. Keontae, there's a chance. Sexton has already been cleared to play. I don't think they're going to rest Collier. So there is that chance. So if you wanted to pick one there to stream in tomorrow, I would probably go with Bryce there. Lone Dez, with Jimmy off the injury report, is Highsmith a drop? Yeah, I mean, I don't think Highsmith is an ad anyway. He's been a stream-worthy guy. Jimmy is off the injury report. I'm still not convinced he plays. I don't know what's going to go on. He's simply off the injury report because his suspension has come to an end and they haven't been able to change that designation yet. So I would see what happens tomorrow. I wouldn't just drop Highsmith now, assuming that Jimmy is going to play. If I was the Heat organization, I'd be doing everything I could to keep him off the court because they're playing pretty well. He's just going to come in and mess things up, in my opinion. So, yeah, I wouldn't be dropping him yet. Chad plays poker in his spare time and made the final table. Didn't win, I'm assuming. You would have mentioned it there, but good job making the final table. I do play – well, I don't play – I play poker with a couple of mates once, like every 6 months. And my theory is just I hang around until there's only two of us left and then it's just luck. So it's I am not a particularly good player, but I'm very patient. DeMar top 75 in the last 2 weeks. Slowly rounding into form. Is Keegan back or is this a streak? Well, back. He's playing better. They're still, as I said, I still don't think they're using him correctly, but he has been better. So it is positive. Am I surprised with the blowout that OKC didn't give J-Dub 2 or J-Will more run? Now, we talked about this. I said in the pregame show, I thought one team is big, one team can go small. Whoever is dictating the game will dictate the rotations. That was the Thunder. When they were small, they took over the game. So as you can see on the Cleveland side of things, their bigs just didn't play tonight. So like I said, I would hold J-Will for... They've still got two more games in the next 3 days. Was it Alex who asked about Bilal? Oh, yes, it was. So Bilal is your worst player. I don't think the rest of my league is on Bilal. Okay. So should be safe. Yeah, look, if you can drop him and you think you'll be able to add him, then fine. Yuri is 5 of your 13 Thunder players. 5 of 13 Thunder players. Too many for my roster. Well, what's too many? Let me have a guess at the five players. Let me guess who you've got. You've got to have Jalen Williams, Shea. Do you have Chet and Hartenstein and then maybe Kayson Wallace or Lou Dort? Are they the five? I don't think so. I mean, Hartenstein, and if you've got Hartenstein and Chet, they're both injured at the moment, so I think that's fine. I probably wouldn't have five, but you don't have five active players, so there's a difference. Do we think the league steps in? So this is relating to the rest question or discussion. Do I think the league steps in when big name players sit nationally televised games? They did create that thing last year where like all-stars or all-NBA players or something, you could only do one at a time. I can't remember. So do we think the league... Yeah, look, maybe... I don't see why there's a difference, but apparently there is. So that's why Embiid and Trey got hit with fines in that season over for Embiid and NBA Cup game for Trey. Yeah, look, that's it's very possible that is why, but why? I don't know why there would be a difference there. I know it's all about money and TV rights and all of that sort of stuff. Are we basically assuming at this point that Ant's sick of Gobert since his comments about the low energy starts and the second team bailing them out? Sick of Gobert? I mean, I can't speak on behalf of Anthony Edwards. It's not, I don't think it's a good relationship. Let's put it that way. As I said in yesterday's show, if there was a stat for the number of times that someone is standing under the rim with their arms in the air with no one around them and they don't get the ball, Gobert would lead that because it happens all the time. I remember it used to happen a lot with, who was it? I think it was when the whole Michael Porter Jr. stuff was going on and that his teammates didn't like him. And I think he had some weird opinions and odd views on life and things like that. And the guards would just not look at him all. I can't think which guards they were. Jamal Murray, and they had someone else. I don't know if Elfrid Payton was. Anyway, I remember that you could watch the game, KCP, I don't know. And they actively avoided passing it to Michael Porter Jr. It was blatantly obvious, and this is much like that. The poker is still ongoing. Go, Chad. So here are your teams. Case and Wallace, Chet, Hartenstein, Dort. Okay, so you don't have Shea, you have Dort. And Jay Will, so the bad Jay Will? If Jay Will is... it might have been Gary Harris, Chad. Yeah, that's true. Jay Will and Dort are two of your five, then I'm fine because you're not going to be holding them. So, no, it doesn't matter. Having sort of the four best players on a team, like if you had Cleveland and you had Mobley, Jarrett Allen, Garland and Mitchell, then that's where I'd probably be looking to move off one of them. But a couple of these are streamers, so, yeah, it's fine. All right. That will do. Fairly quick again. Very good. We'll be back, like I said, three shows in the morning starting at 2:30. We've got a final question from Lone Des. Add Clowney, right? Yep. I would add Clowney. I know he was really bad yesterday, but if we look at minutes, he is arguably the most consistent in terms of minutes there. And if we are talking about favourite stashes for the end of season, Dayron Sharpe is right up there for me. So if you are at the top of your standings and you can just throw Dayron Sharpe on your bench, I would do it. All right. Back to the plug. Three shows tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. Eastern for the pre-game show. 3 o'clock for Trade Talk with Raphael Johnson, and then 4 o'clock over on Dan's... network on the Old Man Squad network, doing the live Q&A show with a whole heap of other people. I think he's just going to jam us all in a room together. I'm not sure what his plan is, so we might get to answer one question each for every 10 questions or something. I think people will float in and out as well, so this is probably going to be a little bit like the Trade Deadline show. That is another show that we would like you to go and pre-like. So if you find, I tweeted it, Dan's tweeted it, go and find the Trade Deadline show on YouTube and just give it a thumbs up. I think he's pushing for 1,000. It doesn't actually mean anything, but it's a nice number to get to. So go and do that. Do that for tomorrow's show as well. Hopefully I'll see some of your names in there for that. But that will do for today. Thank you again for tuning in. Go and download, like, do everything. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.